Thank you. So we are going to be studying today Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, maybe just a little bit more treble, a little bit less on the bass voice. And bring it down just a tiny bit. So we're talking about putting on things. Last week we were taking off all the old life and putting on the new. Taking off the old, putting on the new. I just got new lenses for these old frames. I like them a lot. And so I was trying to take care of this. Every time I went out to the beach, I would take and switch them off with my old glasses in the car that I would use for, like, if I was driving to put sunglasses on or something. I'd switch them off because I thought I'd get out to the beach where the sand is, and then if you kind of wipe your glasses to clean them, you're kind of cleaning them with the pulverized glass, which would scratch them up. And so I was trying to take care of that by putting off the old, putting on the new when I get back from the beach, because I didn't want to go out playing in the dirt, as some members might say, just going out to play at the beach. Didn't want to hurt the new glasses, and so I had a purpose of putting on the new when I got back to enjoy the rest of the family and all that. And I kept them really nice and clean. I didn't need any scratches on the new ones. And then on the way home, filling up with gas, a bug attacked me, and my glasses flew off my face. And then they got scratched up anyway when they fell on the concrete. So, anyway. But you know what it is to take off the old and put on the new. It wouldn't be right to put on the new on top of the old. You got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of the old stuff and put on the new. And the old stuff, we talked about that. But the new stuff that we want to put on is stuff we want to put on and keep on. It's not like switching things on and off like I did at the car. Sometimes people you ever hear somebody say, "Don't say that, you're in church." Anybody ever tell you that? Well, I guess that pretty much means it's a free-for-all when you leave this building, right? You only have to behave yourself for about 2 hours every week. Is that good or what?
That's good.
No, it's not good. The point is, you don't live like that. Because the church is not the building. I mean, I think there's a place in the Bible here or there where you can make a case like, yes, there's the church. That is the location. But by and large, I think we're supposed to understand that we ourselves are the church, and everywhere you go, that's where church is. You know? You ever talk to somebody out there at the, I don't know, you're out there at some store or out some meeting somewhere, and all of a sudden you start talking a little bit, maybe you sing a little bit and pray for each other, and somebody said, you know what, we're having church. You ever say that? We're having church. Yeah. And you are. Maybe you're calling up somebody on the phone, you're having church. Everywhere you go. You ever notice everywhere you go, that's where you are? I find that everywhere I go, there I am. And no matter how far I go on vacation, I can't get away from myself. Right there I am. Now, I will tell you honestly, and Lisa can attest to it, I was on vacation, and know what I said? I said, at one time in the congregation, at one time on the vacation, I said, you know, Lisa, I miss my congregation. I miss the congregation. I miss John vacation. What do you think of that? Because I guess when you take the church, when you go everywhere you are, there you are. You know, if you're the body of Christ, really, you kind of take people along with you too, you know? In your heart, in your mind. What I'm trying to tell you is that you should be an integrated personality. You know, that everything makes sense with everything else. You should not compartmentalize your life and say, this is church and this is not church, this is that. You know, there was one time I was officiating for a funeral, and there was actually somebody in my wife's family who was a little upset with the thought that there might be some kind of like altar call language type speaking during the service, you know. And they said, oh, can't you just sprinkle a little Jesus on top of it? You know, like, can't you just put a little bit of Jesus in there? I think Jesus feels about that, you know? I mean, it's all about Jesus, right? You don't put him in the back room and keep him away. He wants everywhere. So let's put on all these things and let's keep them on. And each and every day remind ourselves who we are. We don't want to look in the mirror at the beginning of the day and go away and forget what we look like. We don't want to look at the Bible every day and realize that this is a book for us because we are God's people. We are the church, and then walk away, forget what we look like, and pretend that, and be different with different people. You know, that's a challenge when you go to a new job or something like that. You know, there's a lot of different groups of people. And it's a challenge for you to stay close to Jesus Christ, and you have your integrity with Jesus Christ, and some people will come to you and some people will go away. But the people who will come to you, if you have integrity with Jesus Christ, they might be your best friends. Your best friends forever, and you might even go on vacation and miss them. But if you're trying to please everybody and trying to be this way with this people and this way with this people, this way, how many recovering people pleasers are there here, right? Isn't there a Bible verse somewhere that says, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of God? Wow, isn't that a scary one? It's not like, well, I'm kind of like this, I'm recovering. The Bible doesn't even give us that kind of language. It's like, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of God. So you must be kind and gentle, respectful, loving towards people. I'm not saying to be rude. I'm just saying, have your integrity with Christ, and be consistently who you are, and the people who come to you, great. People who go away, pray for them. But keep your relationship with Jesus Christ tight and let everything else fall in its place. What are we putting on? Put on then as God's chosen ones. That's us, chosen ones. Remember that one psalm I told you? As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Excellent ones, you know, chosen ones. I mean, God thinks of us highly, even though on our own we have nothing to sing about. But it's all by Jesus. So put on then, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, that means pure. It also means set apart. Keep those two definitions in your mind. Holy and beloved, you know what beloved means. It's just like, you're held, cared for, you're served by a loving God who calls us into his wonderful life of service for him and the whole world. A God who blesses us with strength with which we bless others. So, we are loved. We remember his cross. Beloved, we are held in that. We abide in him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We are encapsulated in his love. And if you stay in love with him, keep your mind with Christ, keep your heart with Christ, it's a lot more prosperous way to live. And I'm not talking worldly prosperity. If God gives you that, use it for his glory. But I'm talking every kind of prosperity that is good. And sometimes it's the prosperity of even having maybe a rough day and saying, God, I did that on vacation. There was a couple times where I was like challenged. And I think once or twice I even did it right. When you had a rough time, I said, thank you, God, that this happened. You know? I might have even said that when I was being so careful with my glasses through the whole week, and then all of a sudden some bug attacks me, and I just like fling them hard onto the concrete, and I put like scratches almost right where you see, you know? And it's like, thank you, Lord, that happened, that you allowed that to happen in some way. I know the enemy's out there trying to mess with me and everything, but thank you, Lord. All things work together for good. For those who love God are called according to God's purpose in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Lord. And I try to figure out in my mind some way to put it together that how God uses that for good. Maybe I can't see it, but maybe I can. Maybe I can guess. You know what I mean? So, beloved. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now, compassionate hearts, if you go to the Greek exactly on that, see, you say, like, when you feel something, you feel it, like, in your heart, you know, like, deep down in your heart, okay? When the Greek people, they went a little lower, okay? Maybe some of you are more comfortable with this language, I don't know. But it's, the Greek is, let me see if I can say this. Splachnia. Splachnia. That's the first word. Oikdirmu. Oikdirmu. So, splachnia. Splachnia. Oikdirmu. Bowels of compassion.
Wow.
Bowels. The Greek felt things in their bowels. Pretty low. Did you ever see something or hear something or you know, hear or like witness something or and it just got you really down low? I mean, seriously, that you felt it kind of lower in your intestinal area just because it was like so awful or so like it's kind of a gut-wrenching thing. You just kind of felt. Has anybody ever felt stuff like that? Felt it low? It was just like so emotional, so traumatic. Right there it was. So, you're supposed to put on compassionate hearts. That's not like, oh yeah, I care. Yeah, that's nice. Okay, I'll send them $10 or something. What do you really feel for? You know, compassion. Think about passion, the passion of Christ, right? You think of his suffering. Come, passion. What does that kind of, from my mind, I'm thinking it means like with passion, like suffering with. I'm asking you as a Christian person, we're not always going to all feel the same thing. But what makes the church such a wonderful thing is that different people are suffering with different people, you know? You feel for parts of the world that maybe I don't feel for. But we get the prayers done, and if you really care about something, I mean, just like one of our fine ladies today was lifting up something she cares about. She has compassion for that. She feels it. Probably deep down in her bowels. I'm not going to be personal about that. But, you know, she feels it deep. Now, maybe you don't feel it that deep, but you still feel it.
But her feelings kind of lead us to care. And there's things that you care about too, things that you feel deep. But what? That's what we're supposed to do, put on a compassionate heart. What I'm asking you is, what do you care about? What do you care about? Do you care about anything besides yourself? We're supposed to care. Jesus cared, right? Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Kindness. That's easy one to understand. Kindness. You know what it is to be kind. You certainly know what it is to not be kind. And sometimes that's hard to be kind, right? Especially when people aren't kind to you. My wife corrected me while I was driving home. Because I slowed up someplace, somebody in the truck behind me went, ha, ha, you know? They honked the horn a few times. And I just honked my horn immediately the same way he honked at me. Because I was like, come on! Can't you see I'm from Pennsylvania? I'm not normal. I'm not a local here. I'm trying to figure... And Lisa was like, calm down. Because that's normally not me. I'm normally normal like my dad, you know. My mom, she would be the one who'd be like, you know, talking a lot about things or whatever. But my dad would be kind of like, it seemed like nothing fazed him, you know. So it was a good mix, you know. But they both filled in the gaps because she probably helped him to take notice of things, and he probably helped her to calm down, you know. But it is hard to be kind in a world that does not seem kind, right? Humility. Humility. What's that like? Putting on humility is... Moses, the most humble person in the Old Testament there that was listed as humble. I mean, God speaking through Moses wrote those words about him being humble. Just not thinking about yourself a lot. Just thinking to yourself. Just taking a lowly place. I think it goes along with all those compassionate, kindness things. Seeing others, seeing things, thinking about other people and how they might see things, what they might be going through, and just taking a lowly place. It's kind of a good kind of like questioning of self. Not thinking too highly of yourself. Taking the lowest place. The Bible says, let another man praise you, not your own lips. Meekness. You know what meekness is? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. You think about it like a thoroughbred horse being ridden. Think about those rippling muscles. Smoke out of the nostril kind of strength, you know? The mane flowing in a wind because he's going so fast. The sun on the withers as he's just running down through, you know, whatever terrain. But he's being ridden. And he's staying the course. Meekness. Strength under control. And patience. That's like a long kind of fuse, not a short fuse. A long kind of fuse. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Patience. Long suffering, you know? Are you a patient person? Person willing to wait? Bearing with one another? You bear with one another? We had a vacation with 7 grandchildren, and Lisa and myself, we stayed with one family, mom and dad and 4 children, and the other mom and dad with 2 children, and then another mom and dad with 1 child, one who's also taking a course at the time. You know, the father was too, so there's a lot of busyness and a lot of slightly different parenting styles. But they, and you know, and there are some of us who speak more abruptly than others. I used to say my one daughter I could look at and she would cry. Like if I wanted to discipline her or something, I could look at her and she would cry. The other one, I'd need like, so she was so independent and strong-minded, much like her mother. She's just, that I need a verbal 2x4 to kind of get anything past her sometimes. And then the third daughter was a little bit more mysterious. She was kind of a mixture of the other ones, you know? And a lot like me in the still waters running deep kind of thing, but still, she would say things. And I remember one time, she shut me up pretty good because she actually knew how to speak my language too. Because I would say, good morning, children. I'm an early riser, you know? Like I probably got to bed last night like around, you know, 2 o'clock, and I got up this morning like 5 something. Because I go to bed late and I still get up early. I try to catch a nap if I can, you know, because that's just the way I am. But I'd be up in the morning because I love the sunlight. I like getting started early and I just like mornings. You know, I like, anybody else like, just love the sunlight through the windows and all that stuff? And yeah. Like the birds, and some of you are like, what, there's birds out at that time? yeah, they're there. But you know, I would tell my daughter, good morning, sweetheart. And my daughter, somewhere along the line, picked up a verse from Proverbs. She says, Dad, whoever blesses his neighbor loudly in the morning shall be counted as a curse. Wow. And seriously, that shut me up. I didn't have anything to say. She used the Bible to shut me up. And you're all thinking, we need to find more verses. But you know, but they're all different. And they're all like, and they all have different strong thoughts. We have a homeschooler, we got public school teachers, we got like all this together, you know, and some housewife, some working mom, you know, and my one daughter, you know, she is like wondering about some stuff, and my other daughter is saying like, well, what was the phrase she used?
Do you want a vent?
Do you want a vent or do you want advice? And that's how they talk to each other. And then the daughter said what she wanted, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a lot of bearing with one another, you know? And the church does that too, right? Because we all have different edges. But if we're all reading the same Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, God's going to keep on bringing us together. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So, yeah, I almost felt like singing Love Will Keep Us Together. But, you know, forgiveness is a lot of that, right? Isn't forgiveness like what's unique about the Christian faith? What shows you that it's the only religion in the world that makes any sense? It has so much forgiveness about it. And isn't it something that says if one has a complaint against another, and you know there's a Matthew 18 way to deal with it, if you feel like somebody sinned against you, yeah. And that's totally appropriate. But listen to the brevity of this verse and a way that you can handle it when you have a complaint against somebody else. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Never thought of that. Do you mean just forgiving somebody? Yeah. Just forgiven someone. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Do you remember how much you've been forgiven for? Now, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I understand we're supposed to like forget about the old sin life. Don't let the devil bring up the guilt of it and everything. Go on with your new life. But don't you forget where you came from. You know? Don't you forget what you've been saved from. Keep you humble. I was telling Sunday school class this morning, just like just things I used to allow into my life when I was younger. It's like, even as a young pastor, I was different back then. You know? God has worked to sanctify and work, and he's still working on all this, right? He's still working on me, right? Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love. You're kind of keeping the cross before you all the time, right? You're saying, put on love. That's not like just tender feelings. That's like a decided action of digging in and doing what's best for your neighbor, keeping Christ in the forefront of it all. Because remember, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. But you also don't want to forget that 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Now, Paul says he dies daily. So I'm not saying that you have to physically sign up for martyrdom, although there's many Christians who do suffer martyrdom, even in this day and age. But I'm saying you have the idea of love in your heart, and you rise up with Jesus Christ to die daily to yourself. And you'll find out that when it's all said and done, the days when you die daily to yourself could be your best days, you know? It's like as the vacation wanes and goes towards going home, you know, it's like you want to spend every moment you have at that place where you are at that place that you want to be. Like if you're like being sitting along the ocean shore, just listening to the waves and seeing the water and hearing the birds and all that, you like, yeah, you know, but I saw my one daughter who her husband was taking a class and everything that she needed help going through the hot sand, carrying some stuff, and the child was not making it easy. And so I was like, "Oh, well, I'll walk back with you. I'll carry him back." And so I just picked up the kid, you know, and it was like, and just kind of like what stuff you were wanting to do, all of a sudden you got a different assignment. You know, all of a sudden, it's just, you were interrupted, like the Good Samaritan, right? It's kind of like whatever you had planned for the day, it's all of a sudden your plans got changed because God's in charge and you weren't. And I think, I look back and I thought, I felt so good about that. That was one of my highlights of the vacation, just carrying that little boy back to their house, you know? That's just a little thing. So I'm just telling you, like, there are little things that you can constantly do throughout your whole day to kind of say, how can I be Jesus to somebody today? How can I, you know, just kind of give myself a little discipline so I can be a blessing to somebody else? Okay? Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, in one body, and be thankful. Okay, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, in one body, and be thankful. So how's the peace of Christ going to rule in your hearts? Well, the peace of Christ, the idea of rule here, is kind of like an athletic kind of term, like an umpire, you know? So when you have a thought that comes into your mind, take every thought captive. When you have a challenge, you know, because there might be some things you need to say no to, because if I didn't say no to maybe some other obligations, I wouldn't be available to carry the kid back to the beach house, right? So you might have to say no to some other obligations in order to say yes to some other things. And you have thoughts coming into your head. Sometimes you got to say no to a thought. Sometimes you have to say no to a book or a TV program or a podcast or a friendship request or whatever. You know what it is in your own world. Sometimes you say no to a job. You know, sometimes you say yes to a job. There's a lot of things. But the peace of Christ, the idea of who Jesus is, his word that you live by, his Holy Spirit that you know what is a peaceful way to live with him, that calls the shots. You know, that calls the ways of things, right? I mean, like whether you're going to allow it or not. You're out! Safe! Right? Taking every thought captive. Now, I'm not just saying, well, somebody said, well, I just don't have a peace about it. No, be careful. What does the scripture say? Because you might not even be comfortable sometimes. And maybe I wouldn't have been comfortable. I had a flip-flop that was almost like it was hanging by a thread, you know? And so what would I have done if the flip-flop broke and I had to get through the hot sand? I guess it's my daughter. I guess I just kind of run through the sand with this kid and I just keep on going. what would you do? You know, at the end of vacation, I thought this flip flop is not very. I'm not sure. It's not. It just doesn't make me feel like really comfortable. I just ripped it and threw it out because it was like it's a thread. But it made it through vacation. Praise the Lord. Peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So check things out. No, not check them out. Just pray. Pray and consider. I want you to consider this too. Jonah, when he was disobeying God and the storm was coming on the ship because he was going the other way, away from what God wanted him to do, Jonah was so peaceful that he was asleep in the boat. So don't just say, well, I got peace. I've got peace about things. And so I guess that's the way God wants me to do what he wants me to do, what he wants me to think. I have a peace about this. I have a peace about this thing I'm watching, this thing I'm saying to somebody else, this thing I'm texting, this thing I'm viewing, this thing. I have a peace about it. Well, maybe you're just being acclimated to your world. One of my grandchildren, I think I started quoting to them, whatever is pure, whatever, you know, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Is it pure? Don't say, oh, I have a peace about it, and it not be pure. You can't have scriptural peace if it doesn't agree with scripture. So, yes, look for the peace to be the umpire of your heart. But make sure it's God's peace. And be thankful, it says. Always mix in thanksgiving with everything. Like I said, look for thanksgiving, even when you don't feel like being thankful. You ever try to say thank you when you're like about to explode? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know? Thank you. Yeah, so, the peace of Christ. I was just thinking about a funny thing. One of my grandkids says, it reminded me of one thing I said when I was raising my little children up. And then he said, well, I thought, what did he say?
I thought Grandpa loved,
like, the Bible or something. It's like, oh. No, my own grandkid was like, beat me up a little bit too. But that's right. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Once again, you got the thankfulness there. Always look for the thankfulness. It's the ingredient that goes in there, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That whole dealing with anxiousness mixed in thanksgiving brings you to peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I remember this verse because of a pastor that I know from Greencastle, that when I was living in Greencastle and I was part of the Evangelical Cumberland Valley Bible Fellowship of Pastors, the Evangelical Fellowship, it was a long name. But he was doing the devotional for that day, and at the breakfast time, it was just me and a couple other people. And he said, this word, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, means to settle down and be at home with. And I've told you this before. You have people who come to your house, and they come to your house, and you treat them nicely, you're hospitable to them, and then they leave. You got other people come to your house, maybe they're like your children or something, and they come to your house and they maybe go into your fridge and eat whatever food you have, and you know you got to stock up because they're family and they just kind of wander where they want to. And maybe there's other people who are even more rare than that, that they'll come and they'll like look in places where you wouldn't invite somebody else, but you know that, like if my brother, I know how my brother is, and he's like a rooter and a snooper and stuff like that. My brother I grew up with, okay? I have four brothers. Three of them are like father age to me, okay? But my one brother I grew up with, I know he's kind of like, he likes looking around stuff and everything like that, you know? And I love him. And if he goes over to my house and he starts looking around and everything, asking me questions, that's just how he is. And that's okay. I love him, you know? What about Jesus? Can Jesus get into every little corner and cupboard in your house? Everything, is everything clear for him? Does he settle down and dwell in you richly? Does his word dwell in you richly? I was pleased that my daughter, the word was settling down and dwelling in her rich enough that she could actually admonish me when I was saying, "Good morning!" You know? And that's also why we do psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why we do all those three things here. Because the plain sense of Scripture is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms keeps us rooted in the Bible. Hymns keeps us rooted in good, deep theology. So many of them just lift up some really intricate theology. And then spiritual songs keeps us intimate with God. So you got transcendence, you got intimacy, and you got Bible heart. You know? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. With thankfulness in your heart to God. In your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord, do everything in it, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What does it mean to do things in the name of Jesus? Does it mean like, I'm going to sit this down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sit this down. And I'm about to close this sermon in the name of Jesus. And I hope you have a really great day today in the name of Jesus. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Just say in the name of Jesus all the time? What does it mean? Everything I do is supposed to be in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? See, because we give people names, and sometimes they're just like, oh, the newest trendy name that we saw in some children's movie or something, or some newest trendy name we heard somewhere, and all of a sudden, a whole generation, everybody's being named Jennifer. Or everybody's been named Courtney. Oh, no. There's somebody watching online is probably thinking of some of her favorite people in some sitcom, which I do not recommend. But anyway, the name's not just a pretty sounding thing. Admit biblical things, right? Abram to Abraham. Sarai to Sarah. Names meant important things. And you know, names also meant character, right? So everything that you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the character of Jesus. What you just did, what you just said, how you acted, is that how Jesus would have acted? Would Jesus have honked his horn as many times as you did because that guy honked at you? I wasn't honking because I loved Jesus at that moment. But I should have been if I honked. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I was supposed to say that today. Maybe that's why that goose went right across the road. And I slowed up, so the goose was fine. On the way home, there was a goose that just kind of was in the road for some reason. But honk for Jesus, yeah. But make sure it's for Jesus. Make sure everything you do is in the character of Jesus Christ. It's how Jesus would have done it. It's by his word. It's by his heart. In fact, there's a Sunday school lesson we're going to do sometime in the next maybe month or so, as soon as we get a hold of the material, but about Jesus being gentle and lowly. You remember, you know that Jesus, he described his own heart? And how did he describe it? He's gentle and lowly of heart. That covered a lot of what we talked about today, didn't it? Gentle and lowly. Are you a gentle and lowly person? You know, I am, except every once in a while, it's like, where did that come from? You ever feel like that? And I gotta remind myself, that's the old man. That is not me. Now, I am living in the name of Jesus Christ and abiding in him. Abide in Jesus, right? Amen?
Amen.
Put on the new self. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.